All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles this evening. We're going to begin the study in 2 Peter. And, you know, praise the Lord. I just been joying in all of the highlights of 1 Peter. Just thinking about what God has brought us through and continues to reveal. And I believe He's given at least my life, and I am confident for yours as well, too, just a brighter vision of your wonderful, loving Savior. And I am thinking here how it had been about 6 years that had passed since the writing of 1 Peter and the writing of 2 Peter. And this is the final book, the final words that are going to be brought through this sweet vessel, Peter. And it is thought that Peter went to be with the Lord probably somewhere around a year to 2 years after this final book of 2 Peter was written by this brother. And you think that there was such growth from the disciple to the apostle. And praise the Lord, I think we're going to rejoice in what growth there was in 1 Peter to 2 Peter. See, the Lord never stops. He's going to finish that good work. He's going to perform it. He's going to finish it with joy if we'll allow Him to do that in our lives. But the first statement that we're going to read here, I believe, is it so reveals the heart that God developed in Peter. And we're going to read that statement, which we've already rejoiced in this evening, like precious faith. See, Brother Peter, I really truly believe, finally sees that it's faith. It's faith. It's the love of God that brought him faith. It wasn't of works. It's not of deeds. It's simply and only and beautifully believing in the Word of God. And when we believe in the Word of God, it comes to live in us. It's alive. It gives you a life that's abundant, as the Word of God says. And it's exciting, and it grows. I was speaking to a lady today, and we were thanking the Lord. And she knew the Lord as a younger person, basically had a time away from the Lord, as she says, for about 20 years. And she says, those were the most miserable 20 years of my entire life. And she's been walking with the Lord and yielding her life to the Lord for about the past 2 to 3 years. And she says, the communion, it's even sweeter. And she says, by the grace of God, and I appreciated that she said that, by the grace of God, I'm not going to part anymore. Praise the Lord. And I just thought, now, you think the Lord never left her for those 20 years. Always had her in His arms. Problem was, for 20 years, she was just looking away from the face of her loving Lord, looking away from her that wonderful glory. Now, there's a couple things that are said about 2 Peter here that you might have heard or might hear in the future. They'll talk about some of the close similarities with the book of Jude. And it is precious, and I think it's wonderful. But some scholars have suggested that it was plagiarized or that it was copied either by Peter or by Jude. But I really would hope that we'd all put this in perspective, that this wondrous Word of God has but one writer. Do you realize that? There's just one, and that's God. And God spoke to men through the Holy Spirit, and they were encouraged and inspired to write down the words of God. So, if it appears to be the same, if it appears to be seamless, and it is, because it's perfect. It's the Word of God. So, I would hope that we would rest in knowing that this is but one writer. It's our wonderful, loving Father. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's get into 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says there, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is different to begin with, because in the first epistle of Peter, it begins with Peter and not Simon Peter. And the precious thing I see in that is followed up by a servant and an apostle. I really believe he was perfectly tested and beginning his finishing touches. As we've talked about, Peter truly has arrived in the shape, form, in the vessel that God had intended him to be. He understands that It's not just Peter, it's Simon Peter. He remembers and never forgets that he was as dark as the tents of Kedar. But hallelujah, in Christ, he shines as the curtains of Solomon. Isn't that wonderful? And as it says here, he also sees that he's the servant and an apostle. He knows how to be abased and to abound. There's a beauty in being abased. And let me tell you something. As we read and studied in the first epistle of Peter, that brother was abased and he spoke to the abased. And I can't even fathom what happened for the next 6 years. But I'll guarantee you that it went down and down and down in the eyes of this world. He continued to become, I'm sure, more despised in many ways. Obviously sought after to be killed. And finally, it is told that he was crucified upside down. Upside down upon a cross. They wanted to crucify him. And he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Christ. Turn me upside down. So, praise be to God. How faithful the Lord was to finishing the work that he had begun in this precious brother. But Peter here, as we first see, he surrendered as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Very Pauline-like, isn't it wonderful? Follow me as I follow Christ. And Peter began to follow Paul as he followed Christ. In that grace, in that meekness, in that contentment in the Lord. It wasn't indeed. He began to follow the Lord willingly and joyfully as unto a faithful lover of Peter's soul. And notice here what it says. It's not just any faith, but a specific faith. It's a precious faith. It's a special faith. It was the same faith that Brother Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where he said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And I want to emphasize, and I've emphasized it many times before. And as Brother Peter said, we're going to make this known to you, and we're going to profess it again and again. Praise God, because of the conviction that the Lord has put upon our heart. But this world claims that there are many faiths. This world at this time claims that there are many gods, and there are many paths. But remember what the Word of God professes. There is but one faith. There is but one faith. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. When I speak of others' beliefs, that's exactly what they are. You can believe what you want. But if you're speaking of faith, and if you truly are a Christian, and it's not that I say this in arrogance, I don't say this in anger, I say this in conviction and in love. There is but one faith. And that's faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. And there is but one Godhead. And that's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So, it goes on to say here, to them, and that's us. Praise to God. This is written to us. This is written to all of God's children. And all of God's children, there's an evidence that they are God's children. And it's all the same. And that's faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How much more clear could the Word of God be? It's not by my actions. It's not by my deeds. It's not where I go to church. No. It's not how many times I go to church either. It's faith. It's the grace of God that gave me faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ died on that cross for my sins. He happened to die for yours too. But it had to get real personal that he died for mine. He died for mine. Hallelujah. And that makes me a child of the King. And that allows this wonderful epistle, this living epistle, to be written to me. And brothers and sisters, I hope that we take the Word of God that personal. That these are letters that are written to us. And as we will talk further, and by the grace of God, if the Lord tarry for Sunday, that these love letters that He continues to reveal are written to you. To you. I know you may be sitting there and say, man, I haven't had a love letter for a long time. You better get in the Word of God. They're all over the place, and they're to you. They really are. Letter after letter after letter. And you could never even exhaust it. Just let the Holy Spirit continue to woo you. Oh, and here's another one, son. And here's another one. And I'm telling you, I think I received at least three this week. Praise the Lord. That I had never opened before. Because the Holy Spirit had to reveal it to me. He said, it's time. We can even go a little bit deeper now, son. Look at what He said about you here. Really, that's what He does. That's what this Word is. That's when you can come and be in love with Jesus Christ. And you can come in and sup at that intimate dining table that we talk about. Praise be to God. All right. Verse 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, this is exciting. I'm telling you, you could stay in these two verses throughout eternity. You really could. There is so much wealth in this. Praise the Lord. But first we see that grace always comes before peace. If you do not have grace, you will never have peace. I think of it until you truly know as a Christian that you can never be separated from the love of God. Did you hear that? Until you truly know and believe, Romans 8, that you could never be separated from the love of God. Once you are a Christian, you can never be separated from the love of God. Until you know that, you will never have peace. And there is but one peace, and that's the peace of God. I want the peace of God. Praise the Lord. I have peace with God because I believe in Him, but I want that peace of God, knowing that His love will never be taken from me. Knowing that it's just ongoing. It will never end. And by His grace, as I will grow up in that love, I'll understand truly how much He really loves me. Praise His name. All right. So, we see that He does love us. He gives us this grace that gives us peace. And so wondrous is this word multiplied. See, God is always the God of exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's beyond. It's exceeding, exceeding. It's increasing at an increasing rate. And what He's saying here is it's multiplied to us. This word multiply means it's an infinite supply. It's ever multiplying. And this multiplied grace is only found in one place, the Word of God tells us, and that is in the throne room. That is in the throne room where we, as His children, have not just been invited to freely come. Not just freely come. And that would have been good, wouldn't it? I want you to come freely into my throne room, knowing you can come. No, He said, come boldly. There's an urgency. He's saying, get in there now. Don't hesitate. Don't waste time. I know the life. I know the path. Because I before ordained those good works that you should walk in them. And you know those good works? A lot of them are awful tough. A lot of them are so beyond you that you could never, ever do it. And you have to have the fuel of grace and mercy. And I want you as my child to come in here boldly to dwell with me. I'll empower you with power from up on high. And you won't just finish this thing. You'll finish it with joy. And I love that. I love that I have a God that loves us so, that has every provision. It's already been set up. All of the tools are there because of His love for us. But then next, how is it multiplied? How is the glory or this hallelujah life? I've been encouraged to that. Lord, I want the hallelujah life. I do. I don't want to have this life Christian. I'm going to bear my teeth down. I'm going to get through it. No way. I want the joy unspeakable and full of glory life. I do. I want everything He has to offer. And He said, I've made that provision for you, son. And I'm not just singing rainbows and Cheerios and things like that. No, no, no. This is the real quest. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want it in sincerity. And I know there's going to be some definite hard times that are going to tear my heart basically out. But you know what? I'm after His heart anyways. The very heart of God, He's put that upon us, brothers and sisters. The very mind of Christ that can bring us through it all. And praise God, we can ride. We can ride above it. We really can. And if He tells me that I have to take it in the depths, and He's going to have to show me that, because that's the depths of His love. You know what? He's there too. If I've made my bed in hell, You're there with me. Isn't that wonderful? Never leaves me nor forsakes me. Praise God. I just marvel every day at how much He loves us. Praise His name. All right. So how is this hallelujah life multiplied in and to us? It's right there. It's knowledge. We have to know Him. It's not about coming to church just to sing for maybe 2 or 3 hours. Come on. It's coming here to learn of Him. The Word of God. So thankful again this week that He's put a passion in this life. I want to know Him. And I know it's going to be in suffering. But you know what brings me into the suffering? Is to put more of the Word, allowing more of that Word to come into my life. It's sweet to the mouth like the honey, isn't it? But as we digest it, it's bitter. There's a lot of things that are going to not sit right in here. We've had a lot of stomach problems in the house of this flu season. But God knows, and He delivers us out of them all. And I'm thankful that He's put that desire in our lives. But see, it says that we need knowledge. And we're not talking here about head knowledge. We're not talking here about reciting scripture knowledge. This is the very knowledge of Him. And it's so basic and simple, yet it's so endlessly deep. But I have to go back to basically and simple because that's what He's dealing with. And it really is. And you know what it is? That He is love. That God is love. And that He is in love. In love with me. And He is. That's what He's looking for. His Father tells us very clearly, I'm seeking that worshiper that worships me in spirit and in truth. He talks about the goodly pearl. He talks about the people for His name's sake. He's looking, He's searching the souls of men. Who has a heart to marry my son? Who's willing to go? Rebecca, you going to stay back? You going to stay in the home? Boy, you got a nice home. Family's there. All the familiar. You haven't even seen this guy. Honey, you're just going all on faith. Yep. I've heard. Eliezer came and told me of things. And the greatest things that he told me about, not the cattle on 1,000 hills, not all the riches and gold, not all the servants, not all that. He told me about a man. He told me about a man, a heart. Oh my. Only God can tell us that. But see, it's knowing His love. And we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. To know the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. As it says, to know the love of Christ. That's what it is. Hallelujah. It's there for us. According to His divine power. Because in Jesus, it says right here, in Jesus, I have all things. Everything that pertains to life. But yet we're continuing to look for something else that's going to give us all things in life, aren't we? Really think about that. Now I need a better car. I need a bigger house. I need a better job. I have to have a relationship. And I'd speak about this to men or women both. But it's like, I tell you, and I've heard it, and ladies, you have too. And if you're in this situation, I'll pray for you too. But I've heard it said, I've got to have a man. Huh? I had a brother not too long ago. Well, I'm just better with a woman. Now, don't take that wrong. I'm thankful he is. But you know the man that you better know is Jesus. It's Jesus. Settle down with that man. And then he'll bring you, really, he gives you the desires of your heart. He knows what you need. He knows that he's not going to withhold anything good from you. But if you will wait upon the Lord, if you'll be patient, he'll bring you a man of God. He'll bring you a virtuous woman. And let me tell you something. Marriage can be a very long thing. And it can. Marriage is a very long thing. It just is. So why not have the best that God has to offer? And then, you know what? It goes awful quick. It flies by. That's why a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. You just lose track of time when you're with someone you love. Yeah. Pretty cool, isn't it? Hallelujah. But what he's saying here is that I have Jesus and I have it all. He's the power. He's the only power because there's no other power but of him, from him, in him. And the power, brothers and sisters, is in something that Christianity really doesn't speak about anymore. It's in the blood. The power is in the blood. You study the human body and it's so precious that it's all in that blood. They take the lifeblood out of you. I don't care how many organs you have, it ain't going to work. It's not. Got to have the blood. Praise God, there is power in that blood. And it is truly faith in the power in the resurrection. And it's not just faith. A lot of people will hear that. It's not just faith for salvation, but it's faith in the power of the resurrection. It's in the power of His might. It's in Christ in me is the power. It's in Christ in me, the hope of glory power. This is what he's getting at here. Can you read this and see how he dealt with this dear brother? And I pray that you can see yourself there and say, Lord, you're dealing with me like this. Peter, you have to come out of yourself. You have to quit thinking of yourself. You have to quit thinking that you need to be magnified in some way, shape, or form to feel good about your Christianity. You don't need to be seen. I'll give you a little insight. We're going to talk about a colt that was on the back of that donkey that came in to that precious Passover time. And nobody saw her. The only thing was him. But she was there all the time. She's transparent. Isn't that what you want? God help us. God really help us. Brothers and sisters, that's the living water. It is. Christ in me. Nothing else. Mm-mm. That'll only just disturb it. The perfect will of God. Praise His name. But that's the power, brothers and sisters, that will give us abundant life. It's the power that will give us the joy unspeakable and full of glory life. And it's specifically in the working power of that doctrine. And that's a doctrine that we're talking about here. You understand that? That's how he allows us to grow in godliness. Godliness. And I hope we can see this connection here. Godliness happens when we grow from glory to glory into the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Godliness happens when the word of His grace truly enters our life and builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them also that are sanctified. Isn't that wonderful? See, this is the knowledge that He's talking about of the godliness that we can have, the wondrous depths that are here. We read about it last week and the week before. Armed with the mind of Christ. Absolutely. You have to be armed to fight the good fight of faith. You have to be armed to be able to battle, to be that good soldier. And praise the Lord, you're getting armed this evening. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. It enters your life. It is your life. And you function in it. You operate in it. You're encouraged in it. Praise the Lord. I don't care what state you're in. You can be content and glorify God in it. I look at people here and I will not point you out, but God would hopefully encourage hearts to know who you are. I thrill to see what God is doing in your life. I thrill to see how God, a lot of it is being abased right now. Absolutely. But I want you to know this as well too. To those that may be abounding, naturally speaking, I don't know. But I glory in that too. Absolutely. Often people would say, oh, well, let me have a little bit of that. Let me have a little bit of easy street. That would be good for me. Let me tell you something. To walk in the perfect will of God, no matter what state you're in, you need Him. And to whom much is given, much is required. And yes, that is spiritually speaking, but I'm telling you, naturally speaking, the heat is on. So don't ever look down upon a brother or sister that God may have increased naturally and covet something that you couldn't handle. Because it just might ruin you. And how about being thankful that the body is so diverse, that we have a God of such great love, that He's no respecter of person, that He came to save, and that there was a life that is living a testimony that said, you know what, Lord, I need You. It's not in my bank account. It's not in my homes. It's not in my family life or my loving wife or my beautiful kids or whatever it may be. It's You. Nothing more, nothing less. It's You. So in that, brothers and sisters, I say, you know what? My body, who I'm part of, knows how to be abased. It knows how to be abound. It knows how to be hungry. It knows how to be full. Therewith to be content. Yeah. Well, we're seeing some things that it's not just for me. This is the body. And there's a love that we have to have in that if we're going to be Philadelphia saints to really come into comprehension with what is required. Yeah. Praise God. All right, well, back to our study. There's a lot here, isn't there? Amen. But brothers and sisters, it's that knowledge that knows and rests in the calling that's on our lives is nothing short of full glory. Did you know that? It's full glory. Praise the Lord. Paul gloried in the man that he hoped to be in 2 Corinthians 12:5. Remember when we read that? How precious that vision was. That he gloried in that man. The man that he hoped to be. The bride adorned in Revelation 21:11 is clothed with the glory of God. And over, brothers and sisters, the choice is, are we going to behold the glory, meaning just look at it, as the innumerable the multitude will look at it. As it says there in Jude 24, that they observed the glory. Or are you going to take that offering and be the glory? Amen. She has the glory of God within. She shows off the very glory of God as she's descending from heaven. Her light. Your time's coming. And He's going to show the brightest in the ones that have completely decreased here that He's increasing all that glory within. Hallelujah. Praise His name. She'll be the one with Him in suffering and glory in the very midst of the throne. And as we kind of hurry along, you can see how much there is just in these first few verses. But we can't leave virtue out, can we? Isn't that wonderful? It says there, He's called us to glory and virtue. See, this isn't just glory, but it's virtuous glory. And that word virtue, if you look it up, it means powerful, perfection. And what it's really intending here is complete salvation. Isn't that wonderful? I think of the out-resurrection when I hear about that. Saved from the tribulation. Praise be to God. The masterpiece, fully matured, the brightest of glory, brothers and sisters. Not a reflection here, not a moon glory, but the very glory of the sun. The very glory of the sun. The presence of the glory within, radiating the divine love of God in us. Oh, hallelujah. And here's what it does. Let's move on. Verse 4. Whereby, or by these, are given unto us. The little words mean so much. Not unto Peter. Not unto that group. Unto us. It's given unto us. Praise God. Exceeding great and precious promises. And that's exceeding beyond exceeding. You couldn't even imagine how exceeding it is. It's all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I have Christ, what want I more? It's true. Those songs, praise God, that are inspired of the Holy Ghost, they're right on. They're right on. How perfect is the Word of God. That by these ye might be, that by these things, the things that we've read, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right. So these aren't just promises, but they're the greatest offering of promises. These are the very high calling of God in Christ Jesus promises. I'm so thankful He gave us Peter. Hallelujah. That by these promises, we are partners. We are companions. Partners, companions, partakers. That's that word. Of the divine nature. And that's Christ in me glory. This is perfect and complete glory in all the will of God. And it's all because of one thing, brothers and sisters. Here's the simplicity of it all. It's because of the incorruptible seed. That was it. He gave it to you. He gave you that life. When you accepted Christ, you got the incorruptible seed. You have the ability to grow up into Him in all things. It's all there. It's like a human baby. It can't be any more human. It's a human. But it's a baby. Right? Okay. It can't do all the functions of what we know humans can do, but it's never going to be any more human. Right? It's just human. And they're perfect. They really are. Perfect as a baby. See, God can't help but make things perfect. It's perfect. And His nature is perfect. But the choice is it going to be the infant, the baby? Or is it going to be the full-grown Shulamite woman? He's not going to marry a baby. He'll never leave or forsake that baby. He's going to care for that baby. He's going to nurture that baby. But they're still going to be a child. They're going to be a children. They're going to partake in the things of like a child would. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be in heaven. Hasn't even entered into my heart or mind the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Right? But how much more for that one that will grow up into Him in all things, that'll become that beautiful, mature wife that He delights in, that He can share things with. Does the Lord share things with you? I'm sure He does. I'm confident He does. Just wooing you, saying, here's the things of mine, I'm making them yours, and you share back with Him, Lord, I love you like that. That's what He is looking for in a relationship, naturally speaking, between a man and a woman. That's what you want. You want somebody that you can converse with. You want someone that you can partake joyfully in the things together with. You're one. And no doubt that's what Jesus Christ is looking for in that bride. They will be one. They will have that oneness of communication. And praise God, it doesn't just magically happen someday. His wife hath made herself ready. She operates as His wife now. She has that confidence and boldness in Him now. There's nothing haughty about it. It's a thankfulness. It's a maturity. It's, Lord, I'm ready. I'm prepared by the grace of God. Not that I've apprehended, but by Your grace, You're causing me to grow to apprehend You. I'm getting these big, strong arms, Lord, that I can give You the biggest of hugs. That's going to be the embrace of forever between the bride and the groom. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we're perfect, complete in all the will of God because of the incorruptible seed. It's the new life. It's the new creation. That new creation preserves you. It protects you. It defends you. It sets you in that chair of justification with all the tools to be glorified together with Him. If we will yield. If we will just but yield. Now, since we have this incorruptible life, you know what is next. We've been about the Word of God long enough. Grow up. Grow up. Add, multiply, increase at the increasing rate. Basically, what's going to happen now is we're going to allow Him to let our faith blossom. And let's go ahead and take on verses 5 through 7, and we'll get through those tonight. And it goes ahead and says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Isn't that precious? Now, how's it all done? Diligence. We have to have a zeal by the grace of God. We have to be earnest, again, all by His grace. It's yielding. And yielded vessels, brothers and sisters, trust God for the increase. Yielded vessels trust Him for the increase, and yielded vessels grow. So in faith and believing His wondrous word, what He's asking us here is, let it work the exceeding great and precious promises in our lives. And that happens one way, by faith. It all starts by faith. If we don't believe Him, we'll never grow. If you don't embrace the Word of God, you will be stagnant. If you pursue it by flesh, it's never going to happen. It has to be by Spirit, and the Spirit gives us faith because we believe in the love of God that is for us. That's what has to happen in this transformation of a faith that blossoms. And the first one here is virtue. And so few Christians really allow this to happen. This is the very glory of God in our lives. This, as we already mentioned, this virtue that is an exceeding glory. And I will mention this as well too. This virtue also brings out moral goodness. Did you hear me? Moral goodness. Now, He can empower you, if you have not heard this yet, to live a godly life. He can. It says in Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Huh? To me, what that is saying is, you know what? I don't want to just use grace for my failures. I want to go in there boldly to get grace so I can stand. And I can withstand. And having done all, stand. I want to go in there and get the grace of God that's going to allow in my life for me to not allow sin to reign in my life. You see, the grace of God is all-encompassing. We understand that. It's what sustains and holds. But don't limit what the grace of God can do in your life. It's the victory. It is the very victory. Praise the Lord. It's the grace of God that does it. All right, and we'll hurry along here. But I want us to make sure that we understand this. We do not produce this. It only comes by yielding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It only comes by the Holy Spirit, yielding to that Spirit that prompts us to move in godliness. Praise the Lord. All right, and then it goes on to say, so to virtue, or this Holy Ghost-led life, knowledge. And this is the maturity that's coming forth. This is the prompting of the Holy Ghost allowing us to operate in the divine knowledge and will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not just operating in human emotion, brothers and sisters, but operating in godly emotion. And there is a difference. There is a difference, and it's a vast difference. Godly decision making, walking by faith and not by sight. That's the knowledge of God, knowing Him. Not the acts of God, but the ways of God. The ways that are past finding out, yet in His faithfulness. But God, through the Spirit, He makes it known. Like we talked about Sunday, I finally realized that, Lord, I'm resting in what You know. And if You told me that I can have Your mind, I can have what You know. Is He a liar? Believe Him. Believe Him. I could never attain that. You could never get that. But this is God we're talking about, and He sure can give it. And He wants to. And that's what He's promised us. Believe me, that's what He's saying. So, knowledge, what a precious thing. And to knowledge, temperance. And see, this is a tough one. Temperance is self-control. Knowing how to possess his own vessel, 1 Thessalonians 4:4. No more principle and feeling. Did you hear that? No more principle and feeling, but love and faith. Lord, take me in a life of that love and faith. Praise God. Continuing an instant in prayer. That's a huge one. Continuing an instant in prayer. The moment that you hear the tempter's voice. The moment that the tempter's thoughts begin to appear. Continuing an instant in prayer. Oh yes, that communion. And only the helmet of salvation is going to give that to you. You got to put that helmet of salvation on. All the armor of God. But don't forget the helmet. Remember in football. And really, it happened often. You know, the guy has all of his pads on, he's running out on the field, and he doesn't have his helmet on. Hey! You know, get back here and get your helmet on. It's true. Don't forget the helmet. Praise the Lord. See, it's His completeness, His divine mind protecting us from even our thoughts. Do you know that that's what you need to be protected from the most? Is your thoughts. Oh yeah. Sit me in a room for just a few moments. O wretched man that I am. Let me stew on something, Lord, for just a few here. Why don't you go take a break and I'll get over here and I'm going to just think here for a moment. Don't. No. And just really. Thank God He never leaves us nor forsakes us. God knows what I would do. Continuing an instant in prayer. So, now that I have the right temperance, we'll assume and jump wonders here. You have the right temperance. He's brought you this piece of self-control. Lord, I'm trusting you. Now we need the ability to be still and to wait on it. It's the patience, right? The very patience. So often, brothers and sisters, we get the victory, We know it. A lot of times we get the victory here on Sunday morning, sitting in church with all of our brothers and sisters here together, and it's right. The power of God. I love it. I'm encouraged. Victory is mine. And I walk out the door, and before I even hit the car, and where did it go? I didn't. You know, it's like the kid in his balloon, you know. He had the balloon, he's all excited, and he thinks about something, and it was gone. That's right, see? And that's the patience, brothers and sisters. The victory of the right state of heart and mind is a wonderful thing, but we have to be willing to stay in it. Not to be edgy to get out of it, but to endure and willing to receive the deep cuts of the Master. It's wonderful to have the victory, but you need to stay there because the cutting now needs to start. I was thinking about how precious, and I don't mean to magnify my brother, but I'm so thankful for the message on Sunday evening. It was a beautiful masterpiece of the Lord because it was God's faithfulness. But He spoke there of the diamonds. And obviously, I just think of the Hope Diamond because it's one of the few ones that I've ever seen. And I was thinking how, Lord, yeah, that Hope Diamond is beautiful. But praise be to God, we're talking about the abounding in Hope Diamond. Yeah, that could never be compared. And it's coming. And she's being cut and she's being made right now. And then, brothers and sisters, and I'll hurry along here, we're almost done. It's back to accelerated growth again. Back to the doctrine of grace and love and back to godliness. It's bringing that godliness back. That thought of operating in the Holy Spirit. Truly allowing that Holy Spirit. And I appreciate the prayers of especially Minnie and Sister Lynn over here that have been really burdened for people to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let us not leave that. Let us not just talk of all the wondrous things. Let us understand and know that to be led into all truth, there is a necessity. And that necessity is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You have to have that comforter, that teacher, that one that truly does take the things of Christ and makes them ours. Don't let that slide. Don't. Seek Him. If the Lord is encouraging you to seek brothers and sisters to pray with you to receive that wonderful Holy Spirit, don't delay. Don't delay. And by the grace of God, when we have that wondrous gift of the Holy Ghost, allow it to flow through your life. Don't be afraid, really, don't be afraid of speaking in tongues. I love to speak with the Lord that way. My English isn't very good anyways. And I don't know a whole lot of words. But you know, the Holy Spirit sure does. And He knows the words that exactly that the Lord wants to hear. He gives me utterance. He lets my heart speak things that only the new man can. That's where I just have to step back and say, it's Your mind, Lord. It's Your mind. See how precious He is. All-encompassing God. But see, this godliness is the very character of God. But again, so infinite, yet summed up in one word, love. It's His character, His love. He operates in that love. And that love allows us, brothers and sisters, to show forth brotherly kindness. We've talked about that much in Corinthian study. The compassion, the empathy, the Philadelphia love. The Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia love. If we don't love one another, we will not be part of that glorious bridal company. We won't. And I mean fervently love one another. It's a love that's without hypocrisy. It's without dissimulation. It has to love one another. There cannot be any indifference. There cannot be a root of bitterness. It has to be His divine and pure love, because that's the requirement that He's going to have from His bride to Him. I'll give you that example again. I would be crazy to marry someone that I didn't think loved me as much as I love them. Come on. Would you take that chance? Well, she'll grow to love me. Eww. That was a train wreck coming long time back. But you know what? You've heard that before, haven't you? Well, there's a Father that's doing the searching. And this is a faithful Father. And this is a faithful Father that's faithful to His Son. And let me tell you something. She's not going to be anything short of the true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and truth. It's going to be exact. She's going to be right. It's going to be a perfect match. There's not going to be any doubt. And she's going to have this brotherly love. She's going to have this filial love. She's going to have the agape love. It's going to be its faith and love. She's going to have the faith in His love that knows that He does everything right. That He would withhold nothing good for us. No matter what we see, no matter what it seems to be, no matter what it appears to be, this is the one that says, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we'll end with that. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for this time of gathering. We thank You that You're here. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit is speaking to us, Lord. Help us to come out of this place stronger in faith, more full of Your love. God, help us to be abounding in this hope. Lord, let us pay attention, truly, to redeem the time. This is the important thing, Lord God. Let us set our affections on the things above, not upon this earth. What a beautiful life You bring us when we do yield to You. Help us to know it. Help us to grow in it. We thank You and give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.